Genesis chapter 1. We're still in chapter 1 today. we're going to look at verses 26 through chapter 2, verse 3. It's printed for your perusal and during the week and study and review. No more important chapter in the entire Bible than chapter 1 of Genesis. Because in chapter 1 of Genesis, it gives you an explanation of things. Somebody says, explanation of things. But it also gives an explanation of you. Somebody say, explanation of me. See, because if you don't know who you are, and you don't know, then you don't know purpose. If you don't know who you are, you don't know what you are. I've always subscribed to that. One of the things, I'm not much for funerals. You guys know I believe in that let the dead bury the dead. But it was a very interesting note, one of the comments made at the late Aretha Franklin's funeral, and it happened to be by Michael Eric Dyson. I think you guys know him. Eric Michael Dyson, y'all know him? Smart brother. Smart brother, got a couple of screws missing, but smart brother. But he was relating a story, Harry, of when he was traveling from the East Coast over to the Central time zone place, Notre Dame, I believe it was. I can't remember, but vice versa. He says he looked at his ticket, and his plane left at 4:30, and he arrived at his destination at 4:22. In other words, he had arrived before he even left. And what he said was, if you don't know where you're going, you won't be there when you get there. How many of you have an opinion about anything? An opinion? Oh, we all do. Don't speak for nobody. Who's that? Is that Thompson over there? Is that Nina? Or was that you, Linda? No. Don't speak for nobody else. If all of y'all got an opinion, all of you should have raised your hand. Because it's pertinent in being able to answer my next question, T. If you have an opinion about anything, is that opinion based on fact, feeling, logic, or otherwise?
All of the above.
So, Trella, if you've got an opinion based on fact, and Jim's got an opinion based on feelings, they may not coincide. Agree? Then who am I to believe? Listen. Who am I to believe? How many of you believe that I should believe Trellis? Sister Young. Oh, y'all ain't going with Trellis? Why? Remember now, she's based on fact. Jim is based on feeling. How many of you agree with Sister Trellis? You gonna believe Sister Trellis? Okay. Fact look like it has majority, but you feeling folk gotta raise your hand too. Get them up. Harry's got feelings, okay. Stalin's got feelings. Okay, now, if I was to examine all those folk, you know, the fact folk, you know, they got the fact, you know, they think they got the fact. But what I didn't do, I didn't tell you what their opinion was about. It is 1310, the year. of our Lord, 1,310. And Trellis and all the majority of the rest of you, you have looked through the astronomers' books, the scientific data that is available, and you've said the world is flat. Because in 1310, that's exactly what you would have said. But Jim, long time ago, he just looked out into creation. He looked as far as he could look. And he says, you know, this thing ain't flat. This thing is round. I just feel that. Now, all you folk that went on fact lined up behind Trellis, and you all just fell off into the abyss. But Jim was just based on a feeling.
I didn't have all the facts.
I did not pay her. I did not pay her. Because Trellis is acknowledging the facts are as we know them right now. The facts were scientifically deduced. There was some extrapolation methodology that made her come to the conclusion that she came to. Jim just had a feeling, or if he had a belief. But you could have answered that either way and been right. Because the facts are out there. The facts are out there. The real data is out there. But it's the source that's lacking. Because her textbooks, all you factors, the textbook told you that it was flat. But the good book, written a long time before 1310, said this. Here's what Isaiah said. And the Lord God sits on the sphere of the earth. And the last time all Trellis had to do was go and see what a sphere was. And she would have known that's a circle. That's round. But Jim just had a feeling. So, whenever we discuss issues like we're going to discuss today, you've got to stick with the real facts. And the fact is, God is the arbitrator, the mediator. He's the producer, he's the manufacturer, he's the creator of all, because he created everything. Do I go to the source, or do I go to another book? That's going to become very important in the coming months. What book do you believe? Ladies and gentlemen, it was clear for me when we started this lesson early in the month, it started out with, in the beginning, God. That right there tells me that if I'm going to know anything about things, about my environment, about me, I need to check with God. I need to believe that which God promotes, not what men and women promote. Because all the hands went up, Brother Keith, all the hands went up. Talking about, yeah, I got an opinion. Everybody got an opinion, but what is it based on? The word of God is true if nobody believes it, if nobody feels good about it, because it's truth. God is. And if you believe that God is, you have to believe. If you believe all that is about God, because some of the discussions, you don't know. It's evangelism time, folks. That's why y'all need to be excited and need to be praying and evangelism. Well, they come out the woodworks. You know, people tell you all kinds of things. They don't like my, you know, I email Ebox a burn up, you know, talking about how can you teach that stuff and, you know, what do you believe? And, you know, I read the science book. They ain't read no book. I read the books, and I ain't read all of them. But I read one over and over and over again. If you embrace anything other than what you've heard these last few weeks about creation, you have missed divine revelation. If you are still hung up, you're vacillating between evolution and devolution and creation and you know what? Something's wrong. Because first of all, let's just look at the facts. We saw the earth in the very beginning being formed. Well, they would say it's Big Bang. Oh, and I got the facts. Because the science books, the scientists say there was a Big Bang. And they, surely science is right. They were right in 1492 also when Columbus come tracing around trying to prove that the world wasn't flat. All they had to do was read the Bible and save Isabella some money and some ships. The Bible. See, wrong book. They had the science books, but that didn't do them any good. But if you can believe in evolution, that's what I'm about to share with you today and what I've shared with you in previous weeks. Here's what you would rather believe is true. That an explosion, Harry, in a publishing house would produce the Webster Dictionary. You let that sink in for a minute. Because it would take just as much faith to believe that an explosion happened in a publishing house, we now have the Webster Dictionary. Makes no sense. We've tried to show over the last few weeks that it was by creative design, intentional design, by the hand and the word of God that all things were made. Up until today, God, through divine fiat. In other words, he spoke everything up until this point. But here now, he's about to do something today, something that's special, that others would write later on, Nick, that we are the handicraft. We are the work of art of his very hand. And that we is us. Mankind. Because here, God no longer uses divine fiat. He doesn't use his authority, his voluminous voice to produce something. Here, today, we're going to see that God created man, and in chapter 2, if you want to read the details, it shows you how he created him. That he formed him out of the dust of the ground. You gonna believe evolutionists? I shared with you last week just a little bit. 50 mathematical theories about evolution are defeated in the first 28 verses of Genesis. 50! We had some people smarter than Ford come in with the math formulas, and they did it. So who you gonna believe? I'm gonna believe the one who said, My word is truth. Because I am truth. God is truth. So, verse 26, let's see something. Day 6. You know, it's interesting, Jim, that even some of the theologians get crazy and start looking at this verse, Vanessa, and they see that word image, and they come up with the heresy that we are all little gods. Okay? But I can read. They taught me how to read. And it says that in the beginning, God created out of nothing. He created man in the image, in the imago Dei, or the imago Deo of God. In other words, the very image and likeness. How are we like God? Well, any basic doctrine student, I got several of them on the wall over here, in the back. They can tell you that, first of all, we are in the image, in the imago Deo of God, in that we were created with the same moral, somebody say moral, capacity as God. The same moral, we were to represent God in the earth in his moral capacity. We're in his likeness in the characteristics of God. See, the likeness of God says that we share some commonality, but we're not it. See, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The Word was so much God that the differences between them were indistinguishable. But in the image of God, in the imago Deo of God, we are like him in certain qualities and characteristics that make us him. See, you got to get that. Because if we are him, then we go off and do all our own thing. And that's exactly what we've done. We've taken the representation of God and we've done our own thing. We were just simply made in the image of God. Moral, had the same moral capacity. Well, we were like him in certain characteristics. In that one, very easy, you know, over in the Amherst, just waiting. Say, well, let me teach this. I got this part. Tripartite. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Matter of fact, in the beginning, God, in the beginning, Elohim, plural. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, Elohim and the Spirit. We see one person in the Godhead doing something that the other one is not mentioned, doing one specifically. It gives us our first introduction into the Trinity. But here, being made in the image of God and in the likeness of God to represent God in the earth, that's an awesome responsibility. Look at this. It says, and let them. Now, would somebody read that for me? Wait a minute. I want to, Terry. Read that very slow. In the beginning.
God said, let us make man in our image.
God said, let us make our man. In other words, the us that he's talking to there, who's he talking to? Do you realize those people who deny the deity of Christ say that he wasn't talking about the Holy Spirit or Jesus? That he was consulting with angels. But you know what? All you got to do? All you got to do is read the Bible. All you got to do is go to Isaiah 40, and you'll see that he didn't consult with any angel. He consult with this was a members only consultation. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit got together and said, "Let us make man in our image to represent us, and let us make him in the likeness, in that he too." Will be three in one. that he would be body, soul, and spirit. That's like God, but not God. Come on here. It all makes sense. And that body gives us world consciousness. And that soul gives us a self-consciousness. In other words, we're aware of ourselves by the life force that's in us. But in the spirit, because we're going to see in chapter 2 that God sit down and breathed into the nostrils of man, and man became a living soul. That in that spirit, he can, because without the spirit, man is just a lump of clay laying there perfectly formed. But with the spirit, he becomes a living soul. Y'all better hear this. So God put into man that which was eternal. Y'all don't hear me. Because God will always be breathing. Because God will never die. Oh, y'all don't hear me. Oh, it's going to get warm in here in a minute. In other words, this God says, for a specific purpose, I am going to make man. And I'm going to make him a specific way. I'm not going to speak him into existence by divine fiat. I am going to form him. I want to be close to him, and I want to be so close to him, I'm going to put my mouth on his mouth, and I'm going to pneumatize him, because it's going to represent both fellowship and relationship. Y'all better hear me. Oh, you got to know this. You got to know this. Otherwise, if you don't know its purpose, you will abuse it. And we've abused these bodies. We've abused the very essence of life because of our opinions and feelings. Ladies and gentlemen, feelings will fool you. Feelings will run out. Feelings will always degenerate to the level that they require more of the same in order to be maintained. Feelings will run out. You don't feel good every day. God does. Listen. Because he says, let us make man. And then he says, and give them. See, they can't embrace the fact that he said, God, Elohim, they, them, more than one, is one. But yet they will readily embrace the fact that when it says, let us make man, that he's talking about them. And they are right. Because he is talking about, he was not talking about Adam. He was talking about Adam and Eve. Oh, I'm positive about it. This is elementary. This is week 3. You know, everybody agrees on this one. But he noticed that he gave them dominion forward. And the reason why that's important is because he says, Adam, in chapter 2, I formed you out of the dust of the ground. I put you to sleep and then took out what I put in you. In other words, he was always there with a specific role and function. And God says, with all that I've created, and throughout the creative process, and since I'm a God of order, headship, I'm going to bring forth Adam, this male species, this gender called male, and then I'm going to go in, because Adam is the husband. Y'all read chapter 3, we may not get there. In other words, husband, he is the band around the house. Eve's the house. Adam's the band. That denotes functions and roles. Order. He designed it. Not me and you. If you'd have had something to do with the design, do you think you could have done better than God? Look at your neighbors. Look all around all these pretty folk up in here. Y'all know y'all have messed this up. Because you know why? Because you'd have had everybody looking like you. Oh, you're looking look in the mirror, you don't say, oh, you're the ugliest thing I ever met. You say, oh, man, you got it going on in every way. Woo! But notice he gave them. And I'm going to take a little time because you guys know this story. I'm going to share some things with you, though, because we're living in a time that are trying to usurp the authority of God. And you lost that. You could have, because that word, that phrase there, he gave them dominion. That means he gave Adam and Eve his woman. He gave man and woman dominion. Dominion means authority and rule over all the earth. Y'all read there all the stuff that they. Well, no, Adam had it. Adam and Eve had it. And they never once, until they got to messing around in the fruit basket, questioned each other's authority. You know why? Because God gave it to them. Because they got to having feelings. Oh, Adam, I met Mr. Devil, and he's such a nice guy. He's so smooth. And he says that God just don't want us to know what he knows. They had dominion. This will make you mad. This will make you want to go beat your grandmama. Eve. The one called Eve. Because if they're not deluded, we don't have a problem. Because they had dominion. They controlled everything. They spoke. They had rule, they have authority, and it lists everything. Did you notice that everything that God made between day one and day up to now, day six, Sister Godley, that God gave Adam and Eve dominion, rule over it? Now, you may not like it. You environmentalists may not like it. Oh, I just don't believe that a man should have control and dominion over the little birdies and the fishies and I'm reading the Bible. I don't care about your feelings. Because your feelings has got us into this big mess right now. You've got people confused about what they need to be doing in the earth. Verse 27, right quick, because otherwise we won't finish. I am astonished. I'm mad that y'all think that God is so stupid that he doesn't know gender. He doesn't know sexuality. That he's a God of no sex. He made it. He made them male and female. With a design purpose, folks. Because you can only have a male and female to do the purpose. The purpose wasn't so you could have fun. Fun is a byproduct of your work. Who works to have fun? I'm told that if you got a job, that all you do is have fun, what you got is a hobby. That's not work. It's me. All I'm saying, I'm going to read the book. If y'all read with me, if you come up with a different conclusion, I'll be praying for you. But it's clear to me. And then God what? Stop right there. God gave a blessing. God blessed them. He made them male and female and then blessed them. What's the blessing? See, everybody thinks it's a blessing. I'm going to get a new car. I'm going to get a new house. Let me tell you something, folks. It's a blessing to have a functioning body with all the tools working. So that tells me right here, God blessed them that Eve was stacked and Adam was sure enough fine. They were two fine people living in the garden. Ain't got there yet. We're going to talk about that next week. He blessed them. He endowed them. said, you got this, you got that. You got them, you got those. And guess what? If the designer doesn't know what he's talking about, we're in trouble. Here's what we're doing, folks. We are using steering wheels trying to shift the car. Somebody help me. Don't you think that man at General Motors knew what he built a steering wheel for? If you knew that, then God knew that. You know God knew it because he made you, and he's much smarter than you. God uses all his faculties. That's why he's omnipotent and omniscient. You use 3% of your brain. Got the capability. Let me tell you something. Adam named all those animals without a computer. He didn't have no iPad, an iPod. But something happened that makes us not think. That's why you can't go on people's thinking, because thinking will get stinking after a while. And you don't like the way people think. And that's the way I am now. I don't want your opinion. In basic doctrine, what I tell them, Admiral? If I want your opinion, what? Thank you. I need your opinion. Let's go see what the word says. Oh, come, let us reason together, is what it said. He says he blessed them, and God said, y'all, it's coming, y'all. Y'all read it. And God said to who? No, did he say it to Adam or did he say it to them? Okay, what did he say to them? Right after he blessed them, he told them what to do. You got the gift, you got to use it. Don't turn your gift, don't turn your blessing into something else. He says, the first thing I want you to do with your blessing is I want you to be fruitful and multiply. The first thing after blessing is be fruitful and multiply. And the only way you can be fruitful and multiply is to use the blessings that each of you got. Your blessing may not be my blessing, and my blessing may not be your blessing. But when our blessings come together, we will bless the earth. Y'all didn't get that. See, I didn't pretend that I was something else after God designed me. The devil fooled Adam into believing that he was something else. The devil fooled Eve into believing that there was something else. They had dominion over the earth. In other words, it's your house. Y'all read it? They had dominion. Don't let somebody give you something you already got. It didn't work with Jesus. Y'all remember out there in the wilderness? The devil come up and says, if you do this, I'll give all of you this. Jesus, I got all that. How you don't give me something? The shell game. Hey, Jim, I'm going to give you that BMW you're driving every day. All you got to do is read. So marriage in its most elementary stage was for procreation. It wasn't for you and I to have fun. You had work to do, and that replenished ain't a restocking. That word there in the Hebrew is feel. In other words, get busy and feel the earth. And then subdue that very earth. You have authority over things. If you tell that fish to hop up out that water, he better hop up. You had to invent a fishing pole because of sin. Adam could have spoke and fish would jump in the boat. Eve could have said, hey, giraffe, come here. I mean, from the sun, move a little bit. Eve could have told the sun, could you back up off me just a little bit? She had that authority. God's design is so intricate. I was looking at this again this week. Bees. anybody know what a bee is? I ain't talking about the birds and the bees. I'm talking about bees. Bees. A bee, a beehive, has continuous warmth, continuous temperature, rather, throughout the entire hive. There are no cold spots. There are no hot spots. It's the same temperature everywhere in that hive. Bang! And that happened. Don't make sense. And if a bee was given that much intricacy, imagine what you and I have the capability of doing. As a matter of fact, I hear somebody, well, I'd brush me, wait a minute, I ain't never heard that. If you look at bees, all the cones are hexagon, and they're tilted at an angle. Go check your science book out for that. They're tilted at an angle toward the sun so that the temperature never varies. And y'all say it ain't no God. That's crazy. Men and women were made to procreate, to fill the earth. And you know what I like about it? God filled it first. Y'all don't hear this. God filled the earth so that as long as you are procreating, there'll always be sufficient supply. Y'all don't get that. You know why? Because you know what they tell them, Terry? They tell them that the world is too overpopulated. There's too many children. We're just having too many children. And we won't be able to feed the planet in X number of years. They were saying that when I was a little boy. Let me tell you something. I ain't Methuselah, but I ain't no young boy either. Long time ago. They still having babies. They're still producing, and they can't outproduce what God has already put in the earth. You know why? Because God knew that's what he wanted. He says, fill it up. But see, we want to get lax in our responsibility. When you don't know what it's for, you say, oh, no, I got married for security. I got married. Oh, no, babies? Don't come here with no babies. I know, because that's what they tell them now. That's what y'all tell y'all daughters. You know, you tell your daughters, you know, Sister Nee was in that group too, you know. She came in and she told me, I'm going to tell you right now, I'm a working woman, and I'm putting me home with all these babies. You know, I just shook my head. And it would have worked, but I forgot the formula. It would have worked. All I had to do was go back to Genesis, though. I would have had it. All right, but I digress. Verse 28, 9.
And God said, behold, I have given you every herb bearing seed, which is upon the face of all the earth, and every tree in the which is the fruit of the tree you will see, to you shall it be meat.
All that means is that man was originally created to be a vegetarian. Okay? Now, for all you vegetarians, nah, 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 licking your tongue out, somebody, I told y'all so. If there's a Genesis 10, there's a Genesis 9. And you better go back and read Genesis 9, because y'all messed that thing up. We were never supposed to eat meat, neither were any of the animals. A lion and tiger and bear, no meat. That's what the word says. And he says, I've given you enough. There ain't enough plant. There ain't not enough people on this planet to exhaust all the herbs. In other words, I gave you the herbs. I gave you the herbs to eat, not to smoke, you know. Oh, did I say that? I'm sorry. But sis, if you don't know the purpose of something, we're up here smoking stuff we should be eating. And now we can't even eat the cannabis that we need for medical purposes Because people done smoked it all so long. I'm a reasonable man. Except I will not accept the world view. I will only accept God's view of something. I know what he meant. Don't always attain what he wants me to do, but I'm going to stick with his word. Y'all go on and do what y'all want to do. You believe what you want to believe. I believe that God made Adam and Eve to procreate. He gave us certain dietary rules. We've messed that up. God has a way of dealing with everything. God designed us in a way that we can't mess this thing up. He says, I'm going to find a way. Do you understand why, though? If I asked you who is God, what would be one of the things starting with an L that you would say God is? Do you know what love is? Do you know what agape love really is? Agape love is creative, redemptive goodwill for all men. That means if it's creative, it finds a way. God finds a way to love you despite who you are, despite your mess up, despite that you're throwing him in his face. Every time we do something that is aberrant or contrary to the will and design of God, we are throwing it up in his face. You didn't really know what you were doing anyway. If for me, let me tell you what, don't make my body like this. You didn't know what you're doing. God, I don't understand that. Now, wait a minute. You knew. I relish this big head of hair. I love that big afro. Why are you going to take this stuff from me? And so now I start doing things to try and usurp the authority of God. But God, in our genetic code, y'all don't understand. I mean, this Adam was created to the point, Nick, that let me tell you one thing. If you took the genetic strand of Adam, you know what you could do? It would fill up your biggest refrigerator. But if you attached it end to end, the DNA out of your body, it would stretch from here to the sun. You, just you. Perfect design. He knew what he was doing. He knew what would sustain you. He knew what you needed. He knew everything that you would need. But yet, we want to tell him he didn't do a good job. I want you to read verse 30. Not only you, Fred, but all them beasts that are out there. Herbs. Grass. Herbs. Because in order to get meat, somebody has to die. Something has to die. God says, nope. You do me and you'll be fine. Just eat the herbs, grapes. I can see the grapes now. As a matter of fact, y'all ever thought about it? If Eve and Adam hadn't messed up so bad, Terry, you and Tracy would be home. Y'all be feeding each other grapes now. Katamari. Woo! Woo, gives me shivers. Oh, okay. 31, let's go. Did y'all hear that? Y'all didn't hear it. You know how I know they didn't hear it, Sister Godley? Because God says something here. He speaks a word now that he ain't spoke no time else, no other time in creation. The quality inspector, the manufacturer, sends the QA inspector over, and the QA inspector says, this is the best thing I have ever seen in my life. This is very good. Good for what? good for its purpose. In other words, when God designed man and woman, he now says it's very good. I made them to fit the purpose. Think about that. I made them to fit. So anything that's not man and woman don't fit. Oh, was that? If I didn't know better, if I were at the Resurrection Church, I'd say that's a revelation. That's just an illumination, y'all. It's been true all the time. God designed us to fit. Man, woman. Anything else is not good, because the quality inspector would walk by and he saw this giraffe and Adam and he would say, don't fit, not good. Hey, Doc, you weren't designed for that. He would have seen Eve being the progenitor, and he says, oh, no fit. Right tools, wrong fit. You got to do the wrong role. Reverse those roles. Now, that's what the WORD says. Your opinion, I'll listen to it. But when I get through listening to your opinion, if it's contrary to this right here, if you say anything other than, oh no, man was made to be self-actualized and da-da. Take that pablum pucum somewhere else. Ain't buying it, because it ain't in the word. God knew the purpose, and he made us. And he says, it is so good. As a matter of fact, this is so good, Sister Ogletree, I'm going to stop. I ain't going no further. Man, I don't know, I've done myself. You done myself graduating. God is congratulating himself, saying, this is good. And that's why David would later write, when I consider the stars, the moon, what is this man that you think so highly of him? And God answers the question every time. He's my special creation. He's my glory. Mankind. Ah, we are so special. And to have that special, let me tell you what happened. Matter of fact, I'll tell you what. No, I'm going to finish the lesson, then I'll tell you what happened, then we can go. In chapter 2, those first few verses there, says, God looked around, saw everything was good, said, I'm going to stop. We know from Scripture, God certainly was not tired, because he doesn't get tired. The word is clear, doesn't sleep nor slumber, doesn't tire of anything. He just stopped. In other words, that was a message to us, a couple of things. He says, and the seventh day, God stopped. In other words, God set it apart from all the other 6 days. You gonna work, but you can't rest if you don't work. Oh, y'all don't hear me. All these people talking about, I need some rest. Go work, children, they so tired. I've never seen so many tired children in all my life. They got no jobs. Nobody's working, but everybody wants to rest. But God says, you ought to be creatively involved in your environment, Adam, Eve, since you have dominion, since you're going to subdue it, since you're going to be busy in everywhere. So that also tells me that this procreation was work, because it wasn't too much tilling of the soil. That soil is hard work. That came after sin. Adam had it made. Eve had it made. All they had to do was to do what God told them to do. They were blessed. They were highly favored. And he says, just sanctify. Because every now and then, after you say it's good, you need time to sit back and just think about it. Have you ever just been ripping and running and just sit down I know you have, because I'm talking to Resurrection after church, and I know you guys practice quiet time. In your quiet time, you just sit back and just think about how good God is. You sanctify that time. You sanctify that time when you don't think about nothing else but the goodness of God. God created man and woman for the distinct purpose. Created everything with a purpose in mind. And when we go outside that purpose, we usurp the authority of God. And as I stated early, you can't do that because you don't have the right, because you lost dominion. Because I hear somebody say, now, nah, matter of fact, I heard not too long ago, don't know what sermon it was, but believe me, let me tell you, I let a few creep through in my old age now, but normally I'd be on that, being Sister Kendall. When you start talking about you can take authority over this here, let me tell you one thing. You lost that. You know how I know it? Because Jesus had to pick it back up. Jesus had to pay the ultimate penalty in order to get dominion back. You know how I know? Matthew 28:18. All authority is given unto me in heaven and in the earth. Not given to you. Given to me. You will proceed under my authority. You will not proceed under your own authority. In other words, you ain't to tell the church what to do. You ain't to tell authorities what to do. You ain't to tell other folk what to do. You need to be totally yielded and submitted to Jesus Christ, because he is the one that paid the penalty to get dominion back in the earth. But you had it. Whatever Jesus got right now regarding the earth, you and I had it under Adam's representation. It took the second Adam, the last Adam, to come back, secure that dominion. And his work is not through yet. That's why he sits at the right hand of the Father, interceding on our behalf every day, because his work, his earthly work, in other words, the Christocentric ministry has ceased. But churchocentric ministry goes on through you and I. But under the authority of Jesus the Christ, under dominion of Jesus the Christ. The issue is we want to get outside ourselves. That's why we marry anybody we want to marry. We lay, sleep, slap, do anything we want to. We abuse the blessing that we've been given. It was clear that God blessed this thing. He blessed us. Matter of fact, when you look in the mirror again, when you're in those private moments and, fully exposed, another word for saying naked, you look at yourself and say, oh, I'm blessed. Oh, I'm blessed. I'm blessed. God says I'm blessed. But I'm blessed in who I am, not what I want to be. Did anybody hear me? You're blessed in who you are, not what you want to be. You don't get a chance to remake you. Even when we sing the song, Lord, remake me. Make me. Because we're solely, totally yielded to God because he made us. And God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because that in it he had rested from all his work, which God created and made. Which God created and made. Believe what you want to believe. Believe in evolution if you want to. But I've read the script, and the script doesn't account for evolution. We looked at it in the creation the first 3 days. We looked at it in creation in the last 3 days. It's not there. And the only gap that exists is the one that's in your intellect and understanding. God bless you. God keep you.